Okay, Fritz Bergren, bloodandfaith.com. It is the 8th of October, Columbus Day weekend. I want to talk to you about legitimate authority and illegitimate demands of authority. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ordered by a legitimate authority, King Nebuchadnezzar, to go and worship the idol that the king had set up at the sound of the music, that was a legitimate authority with an illegitimate demand. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not say, hey, you're not even a legitimate king. They just said, this is an illegitimate order, and we will not comply. We cannot comply. Now, I want you to think about this order for a minute. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're just three Hebrew kids, young men, whatever they were, in the land of Babylon. They were there with a bunch of other folks. There's probably hundreds of thousands. I don't know, tens of thousands, a million. I don't know how many Hebrews were there, but they certainly weren't. It wasn't dozens. I'm sure it was in the tens of thousands at the very least. And they were all in there. They were worshipers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he orders everyone in his kingdom. And these included not just native Babylonians or native Chaldeans, but he had a mix of people from all over the place. And he ordered them all to worship this idol at the sound of the music. Why did he do this? Well, it was a loyalty test, essentially. It was a loyalty test. He wasn't out there to convert all the people in his kingdom, in this multicultural kingdom, to his one true religion. Had nothing to do with it. He couldn't care less. He couldn't care less which god they served, or which religious services they went to, or what traditions they valued. He had a multicultural, multi-ethnic community, and he needed to let everybody know that, hey, I'm the boss, and if I make a decision, y'all are going to obey me. So we have unity in the empire, and so you know who the big dude is, and it's me. Now, I'm not telling you to change your religion. Not telling you to burn down your churches or get rid of your pastor or change your holy scriptures. I'm just saying, y'all come out here in the plane. We're all going to worship this image. And, you know, then you can go on. Be on your merry way. Go do whatever it is that you want to do. Go apologize to your God if you think you need to do this. You don't have to come back next week, next month, next year. It's just a one-time deal. Now, out of the hundreds of thousands, I'm going to say, Hebrews that had been in exile in Babylon, how many told Nebuchadnezzar to stuff it? Three. According to the Holy Scriptures, three men said, no, we're not going to do it. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, you don't do this, I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, hey, you know what? You go for that. You do that. Our God's able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your idol. That's an example of a legitimate authority with an illegitimate demand. Here's another example, also in the book of Daniel. A guy named Daniel, how about that? He was a senior bureaucrat in the court of King Darius. King Darius was the legitimate government. He was a legitimate authority in that land at that time. Daniel worked for him. Daniel didn't say, hey, I'm not going to work for you because you're not legitimate. You're not the legitimate king. He didn't say that. He worked for him. He worked for the guy. He was a good bureaucrat. And one day the king made a law saying, hey, you know, for 30 days, this is an executive order, for 30 days, no petitions to any god or man except to me. Just for 30 days. Now, of all the hundreds of thousands of people that were Hebrews that traditionally served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how many of them said, king, we're not going to obey you? The answer is one. And Daniel worked for the guy. Daniel had no problem with Darius being the king. He had no problem with Darius being the king at all. Wasn't an issue at all. But the king vastly exceeded his authority when he said, you shall make no petition to any other god or man for 30 days. Now, Daniel could have said what everybody else said. I said, 30 days. Hey, there's a lot of folks that don't pray for 30 days. A lot of people miss church for 30 days. What's the problem, man? We go on vacation every year for 30 days. We're not even going to think about this. Oh, I forgot to pray for 30 days. This was easy, man. This was an easy one. This was a softball. And yet Daniel said, oh, no, 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 no. He goes home. He makes sure his windows are open, and he prays to Almighty God and puts his petitions before him three times a day. And he gets ratted out by his fellow bureaucrats, and he gets thrown into the lion's den. So there's two examples of legitimate authority making illegitimate demands, and conscience demanded that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel defy that specific order of the legitimate authority. Required them to, without apology, without explanation. Told the king to his face, okay, my God's able to save it, but even if he doesn't, we will not comply. Now, when you ask me, what is the beauty of a Christian civilization? This is certainly one aspect of it. These men know who the real God is, and they understand clearly that their job is to submit to the King of Kings, not just to some guy that says, I'm the king or I'm the boss, but their job is to submit to the King of Kings. And when the king, the local king, the lesser authority, even though he's legitimate, makes illegitimate claims, they can say, we have an obligation and a duty not to go down this road, thus protecting everybody in the whole nation. And you saw how things turned around. You saw how things turned around with all of them. He's like, oh my God, you know, this is the one true God. But even if that's not the case, we serve Jesus Christ. And when I say that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, which is what Peter said to the Roman centurion, think about that for a minute. Roman officer of Rome, appointed by Caesar. Peter goes to him, and he says, you know, I serve Jesus Christ, who's Lord of all. That means he's Lord of Caesar. That's treason, man. That's treason. He could have been executed for that. Who are you to defy Caesar and say there's a God above Caesar? Caesar himself was a God. And yet he did. Moses never told Pharaoh, you're an illegitimate authority. He never said that. He never went to Pharaoh and said, you're illegitimate and you're not the boss. What he did tell him is, you don't have any authority to keep God's people here. We're going to defy your authority. You have no authority to demand unlimited submission to you. And he defied Pharaoh and walked away with 3 million people. Didn't say you're not the legitimate authority over Egypt. Saying that your demand is illegitimate. David, King David, he never told Saul, you're not the legitimate authority, I am. He never said that. Never said that. In fact, he said, who am I to touch the Lord's anointed? I'm not going to. He had plenty of opportunity to slay Saul, kill Saul, murder Saul. Saul was trying to murder David, doing his best to lay hands on his body and murder him. David never said, hey, you don't have legal authority to be king anymore. David never said that. But what David did is says, listen, I do not need to subject myself to an illegitimate demand. You want to lay hands on me? You want to kill me? You want to murder me? No, I don't have to submit to that. You may be legitimate. Your office is legitimate. But this specific demand, I cannot submit to. I cannot. God Almighty and my conscience forbids me to submit to your illegitimate demands. You have no authority to kill me or murder me or lay hands on me. I've been nothing but loyal and obedient to you. And so David fled from Saul and exercised his right of self-defense, physical self-defense against Saul's forces. That's all without claiming that Saul was illegitimate. Never did that. Refused to touch him, refused to lift a hand against Saul. but refused to abide by the illegitimate claims. Jesus Christ was at great odds with the religious authorities. He didn't accede to their demands. He didn't agree with them. He says, hey, if I agree with you guys, I'll be a liar like you. He's before Pilate. He's before Pontius Pilate. Pilate says, Don't you know I have authority to release you? Jesus said, you would have no authority at all unless my Father had given it to you. So Jesus Christ recognized Pilate's authority, yet he did not owe anybody unlimited submission. Peter was jailed illegitimately. He didn't say that, that nobody had any authority to jail him. He wasn't saying I'm a sovereign citizen and nobody has the right to lay hands on me. He was jailed. But when he had the opportunity to leave, he did. Because his jailing was illegitimate. When the disciples were ordered by the religious authorities to speak no more in the name of Jesus Christ, they said, we must obey God rather than man. They didn't tell the Sanhedrin you have absolutely no authority on earth anymore. They just said, this is what you're saying is illegitimate. It's illegitimate. And we cannot abide by this. Paul repeatedly, he was thrown in. How many times was he thrown into jail? How many times did he escape? They snuck him over the wall. He didn't say, oh, you know what? The authorities are after me. I must comply and submit. You can have a legitimate authority that it exceeds its legitimate authority by demanding things that are simply wrong. And a Christian does not owe compliance in that case. Christian does not owe unlimited compliance. I realize people like to trot out that chapter in Romans, supposed to obey the authorities. You tell me which great leader, which great prophet or apostle or Jesus Christ himself gave unlimited submission to earthly authorities. The answer is none of them did. And it is okay to have an authority that is pagan and worships a different god. In the case of Darius or Nebuchadnezzar, we can live peacefully under that, but not when they command us to do illegitimate acts, to worship a foreign god, whatever it is. And we're coming to, well, we're at a place, we're beyond coming to this, we're at a place in this country where Christians have to make these decisions. And it's everyday stuff these days. It's every single day. All right, now you've got the FBI. They want to round up soccer moms. They want to round up soccer moms, domestic terrorists, because they dare to have an opinion at a school board meeting that doesn't agree with what the National Education Association says or the Biden administration says. They dare to be American citizens, free men and women, and have an opinion. Now they're going to be on the FBI's most wanted list for domestic terrorism. That's not legitimate. There's nothing legitimate about that. And they can point to all their little laws and regulations and executive orders and CDC guidances and 59 other little things. But it's not legitimate. Now, we are at a point in this country where the Christian man has to wake up and distinguish between legitimate authority and legitimate orders, decrees, and laws. We're at that point. When the legitimate authority says do something that is illegitimate against your conscience, stop, full stop right there. I'm not going down that road. If you tell a Christian man you can't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, hey, full stop. You're not legitimate. I'm going to keep preaching. I don't care what 50 laws they have. I don't care what 50 decrees they have or ordinances or regulations or community guidance or community guidelines or CDC guidance you've got. And this is a great protection for the free society. This is why we need a Christian civilization right here. Because we understand this. We understand this principle. We have unlimited examples from the Holy Scriptures of men and women who have said, no, no, we do not owe unlimited submission to a legitimate authority. And it keeps that authority in check. Men must decide. They must make decisions in their own conscience to say, do you want to go the easy way? Or you want to go the godly way? You want to go the brave way? You want to have courage? You want to have heart? Or do you like submission? And we're there. We're beyond there in this country, in the United States of America, and Australia, and New Zealand, and Sweden, and England, and France, and Germany. Submit? Why? So you can go shopping? So you can go to a restaurant? No. If you have a conscientious understanding that the order, the decree, the guidance, the regulation, the law is illegitimate, you can't go there. You can't do that. Let me tell you something. When King Darius gave the order, it's the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be changed. Put a signet ring on that thing. That was the law. That was the Supreme Court and endorsed absolute monarch law. You shall not. Daniel said, bugger you. Bugger you, king. Bugger you, bureaucrats. I know the game you're playing. You claim unlimited submission in all cases whatsoever. No, you're wrong. He opened up his windows and he prayed to God Almighty for three times a day. No, I will not submit. I will not comply. That's illegitimate. You may be legitimate, Darius, but this rule is not, and we won't go there. That's a great protection for the entire civilization when Christian men and women stand up and say, we're not going to go there. In fact, any man. You don't have to be a Christian to do that. You can just say, no, I'm not doing that. Not going to do it. Be an atheist. You can worship Odin. Doesn't matter. This is wrong. And the Bible is full of characters that won't go there. Moses, David, Saul, Peter, Stephen. So keep that in mind as we go through these days. Figure out where your red lines are. Figure out because let me tell you something. Here is the principle here. Any government will demand unlimited submission to the extent that they possibly can. And only good men, free men, can stand in the gap and say no. Some angel out of heaven isn't going to pop down and bop them on the head and say, you're a naughty little king. That's not what happened. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to put their lives on the line. So did Daniel. So did Peter. So did Paul. So did Stephen. Not all of them made it. The Roman Empire 2,000 years ago, if you said Jesus Christ is Lord, that's treason. That's domestic insurrection. That's inciting domestic terrorism. 2,000 years ago, that was inciting domestic terrorism. You know what a Roman candle is? I know we all go to the 4th of July and we buy Roman candles. That's a Roman candle. No, Roman candles, you took a man, tied him to a post, you lit him on fire. What does that look like? Boy, you ever burn chicken on a barbecue? Big old fat drumstick, greasy skin, catches on fire and it burns like a torch, baby. Took these Christians, these little big old fat Christians like me, tied them up there, got them going, got them roasted, got a certain temperature, and whoom, we got some flames going on. We got a Roman candle. What was their sin? Were they burning down cities? Were they murdering people? Were they assaulting people? Were they committing arson? Were they trying to overturn government? Were they burning government buildings? Were they throwing Molotov cocktails at police officers? No, they weren't. They weren't doing anything. They're saying Jesus Christ is Lord. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to be willing to defy all claims for unlimited submission. To be a Christian is to deny claims to unlimited submission by any other earthly power. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's the King of the Kings. He's not just a king. He's the King of the Kings. I give unlimited submission only to the Lord Jesus Christ. Any other lesser authority cannot make that claim. Now, many governments in the history of the world have made that claim. Nebuchadnezzar, Darius, Caesar, Pol Pot, Stalin, Mao, and I'll stop there. If you're a Christian, you have an obligation to stand up and say, no, I don't care what your regulation says, what your community guidance says. If it crosses that line, and only you can decide that, you have an obligation to say no. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were the only ones recorded that wouldn't bow down to that idol. Now, what does that mean for all the other people that did? I don't know. Not my problem. But I'd want to stand with those three, because when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, who shows up? Jesus Christ shows up, the fourth man. Jesus Christ shows up, endorsing their stand for eternity. See this? You throw these men in jail, you throw these men in the fiery furnace, you throw me in there too. And he preserved them. God doesn't always preserve people. Look at Stephen. Go read Hebrews chapter 11. Some of them are sawn in two. That always gets to me. How'd you like to be sawn in two for your religious stand? Daniel had an easy thing. Daniel could have said, how many of us pray three times a day? Hey, some of us don't pray for a month at a time. All right, it comes and it goes, and like 30 days later, you didn't even know you didn't pray, make a submission or a petition to any God or man. And most people, it just went right by them. It was easy. It wasn't a big deal. It was the law. But they didn't think twice about this. I said, well, why am I worried about that? I don't do it anyway. I don't make a petition to God every day anyway. It doesn't even apply to me. Unfortunately, a lot of us Christians are in that state. You know, our service to the Almighty God is somewhat less than Daniel's was, by long shot, at least in my case. So you wonder, well, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't apply to me. Well, we're at a time. We're at a time in a day when, boy, it's starting to matter. It's starting to matter every single freaking day. And you go read the scriptures. Who has authority over your physical body? If you commit a crime, rape, arson, murder, yeah, the government can detain you and punish you. That's over your physical body. If you're married, your spouse has conjugal rights. Other than that, that's it. Other than that, that's it. And even when a government claims the rights to your body, you have to make a decision whether or not it's legitimate. Paul made that decision. He escaped. Peter made that decision. When he had an opportunity to walk out of prison, he walked out. Jesus Christ made a decision too. He says, nope. He said, this time we're going to permit it to be happened for God's purposes. And he allowed himself to be arrested and murdered by the Jews. You got to make that decision. Now, it's up to you. You decide what you need to decide. But do not think that you serve God by providing unlimited submission to any authority that claims authority. They may be a legitimate authority. Their office may be legitimate. But if you're told to do something that your conscience forbids you, you need to make that stand. Now, even in the non-Christian, even the secular authorities recognize this principle. Fundamentally, they recognize it. When we take an oath as officers under the U.S. Constitution, we make an oath to defend and uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. We understand this principle. We understand this. We understand that authorities may make unconstitutional claims, and we're supposed to resist it as officers under the Constitution. We're supposed to defend the integrity of the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. We understand that after World War II, there was a number of people brought to the trial in Nuremberg, and they were tried for crimes against humanity, and many of them were hung. In their defenses, this is what the legitimate authority said. Well, Germany had a legitimate government. That wasn't the issue. It was they didn't have the authority to do bad things to other people, kill civilians for no reason. And so they were tried under that. Police officers, hello, police officers, if they exceed their authority, they're supposed to be held accountable. They can't say, well, I had to do it because I was ordered to do it. No, they were supposed to be held accountable. You and I will be held accountable before Almighty God to do things that are against God and against our conscience. Our bodies do not belong to us. Our bodies are not our own. They're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and our bodies belong to God Almighty. What we do with it, we you know, it's our decision, but we'll be held accountable for it. The authority other people have over our bodies is extraordinarily narrow. Extraordinarily narrow. Now, you may agree with somebody else's advice as to what you should do with your body, what you should put into your body, and that's fine. You do that. But for an authority to claim the right and demand submission over your body for anything less than a crime, and I'm not talking about your spouse either, you don't have any obligation to obey an illegitimate demand. In the most intimate of circumstances, a spouse has conjugal rights. And that's it. Not some government agency, not some executive rule, not your doctor. Your doctor doesn't, let alone some government bureaucrat. And if it's only your spouse, who are these other people to even begin to get involved? Now, this is why we need a Christian civilization. You get generations of people, and they grow up, they read the Holy Scriptures, they read the Bible, and things come up, and they're like, duh, of course you have an obligation to resist. Of course you do. It's not even, you know, you can if you don't, you know, if you, no, listen, the disciples were told, you go out and preach the gospel. If anybody tells you otherwise, you have an obligation to disobey. Their authority, their office may be legitimate, but that specific order is not legitimate. Now, this is what it's come down to in the Christendom. I'm fighting a cold here, so pardon my throat. The Christendom of old. Men are lost. They don't know what to submit to, what not to submit to, because they've lost the biblical examples of Moses. And David, the prophets, Peter, Paul, Stephen, Acts chapter or Hebrews chapter 11. They've lost these examples, and they don't know when to submit and when not to submit, what to submit to, what not to submit to. And if you will not submit to Jesus Christ, you're going to submit to some other authority, and they're going to claim unlimited submission. And you're going to end up in the same tyranny that we're talking about. Used to be, back in the Revolutionary War days, there was a saying, this is over two centuries ago, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And that is a true statement. But if men will not take Jesus Christ as Lord, and he's a gentle Lord, he is a gentle Lord, they will take another Lord who will demand unlimited submission. That's exactly where we find ourselves today, yeah, all over the world. I don't care what country you're in. Authorities are demanding unlimited submission. And this lie about a democracy, oh, you live in a democracy. Really? We live in a democracy. Really? So we got a choice in how we're going to be governed? Well, who are you to tell us that what we can and can't say, what we can and can't do, without any vote, without any laws? You just got some CDC guidance or these are the community guidelines, and you can't say this, and you can't say that, and some judge says, well, you can't even preach the gospel of Jesus Christ anymore. I don't care. I don't care what they say. The stuff that most of these churches preach, Jesus loves you. Okay, fine. Got it. Check. But can you say the things that challenge authority? Can you preach about limited submission to authority? That the authorities that claim to have authority, they may be legitimate in their role, and that's it. Domestic terrorists, and this is what we're facing. Why are we facing this? Because over the generations, the church has retreated and retreated and retreated so they wouldn't be offensive to the little antichrist running around everywhere. We don't want to be offensive. We just want to love you and show God's love to you. And so we don't want to offend you by being racist and sexist and homophobic and transphobic and queerphobic and intolerant and divisive and insurrectionist and anti-Semitic. We're not going to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. We will not do that because we don't want to offend you. We're not going to say that Jesus Christ is the King of every king because we don't want to offend you. And so the church has simply walked away, man. It's walked away from who Jesus Christ is. And now we're looking at totalitarian governments that demand unlimited submission. And it's in our face these days, all over the world. All over the world. It used to be just the communist countries. USSR and China, Pol Pot, you know, Cuba under Castro. Just them. Oh, no, it's right here in the heart of Christendom now. Because we've abandoned the gentle yoke of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we have no idea what limited submission means and illegitimate demands are. And we just bow over and bend over and give them what they want. And so we're slaves. And it's going to take a revival of a Christian understanding of who Jesus Christ is and that nobody is above him. Nobody can claim equal authority to him. Satan wants equal authority. He says, I want to be like the Most High God. No, wrong. Wrong answer. Ding, ding, ding. Wrong. Maybe it's the gong. Gong show. But this is the necessity for a Christian civilization and the conscience of Christian men to resist the unlimited claims of submission that earthly authorities will have over us. You can't go out of your house unless we give you permission now in places like Australia. You can't even leave your house. Wait a minute. Isn't that what they did to Peter and Paul? You got to stay in prison until we let you out. Hey, when the opportunity came, Paul booked, man. He left. Earthquake, boom, he's gone. Agent comes along, opens the doors, kicks him out. He's gone. He didn't go back and say, oh, I need to submit to you. No, heck no. How many times was Paul beat up? Go read that in the epistles. But he didn't stop. He says, I don't care what you guys say. I'm preaching that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm preaching the resurrection of the dead through Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. Greatly offended the authorities, greatly offended the Jews especially. And anybody that claims there's no God higher than Jesus Christ, well, that's domestic insurgency. That's treason under the Roman Empire. He goes and he preaches in, I can't remember the city, but, you know, and people were outraged. No, no, great as Artemis, great as Artemis, you know. And they wanted to kill the guy. So, Christian, you got some decisions to make. A lot of you have made them already. And you know, I'm not any better. Trust me on this. I'm not any better than the next guy. I'm just hoping that I'm starting to wake up a little bit, okay? Just been as bad as everybody else. You go back to Shadrach, Meshach, and they go, why was there only three people that refused to bend over? How come there weren't 10,000? Would have been a different outcome. How come Daniel was the only one that was praying three times a day? What if there was 100,000? Might have had a different outcome. Thank God the Christians of 2,000 years ago refused illegitimate demands. If the Christians the Christians of 2,000 years ago would have submitted to the illegitimate demands, I wouldn't be sitting here today preaching the gospel. I wouldn't be sitting here today talking about Jesus Christ or the Bible. Every government will make all the demands they can possibly make to get you to submit. That's the nature of governments. Our founding fathers in the United States knew that. There's no question to them whatsoever that that was the case. That's why they tried to design a constitution that limited and divided the powers of government. We're going to take the divided powers of three branches, and we're going to strictly limit them. And initially, they didn't even want a Bill of Rights, because why would you need a Bill of Rights? The only thing the government can do is what's explicitly said in the Constitution, which isn't much. But knowing the nature of man and knowing the nature of government, so we don't trust the government. We don't trust them at all. Oh, they're anti-government, domestic terrorists. And so they wrote a Bill of Rights to make it explicit. But they even put in there, hey, any rights that we forgot about here, they belong to the people, all right? The states are the people individually. Just because it's not in here doesn't mean the people don't have a right to do it. And but the government says, oh, well, you know, it means this, it means that. Or it doesn't mean this, or it doesn't mean that. You've got unlimited government. It's the nature of governments to grow. To offer salvation to their people in return for unlimited submission. That's the nature of government authority. And Christian people, I'm not going to say only Christian people, but Christian people ought develop a culture and a civilization to resist that. Because at the end of the day, this is to all my little evangelical friends, at the end of the day, we're going to end up like where we are today, where it's illegal to preach the whole counsel of God in society. Some of y'all want to reduce the gospel of Jesus Christ to, you know, you must be born again. And the question comes back is, why? Why must it, well, to be saved from your sins? Why do I need to be saved from my sins? Or are you doing bad things? Well, who says they're bad? Well, God does. Well, wait a minute. You're being, you know, you're judging me. You judging me? You're fostering hate. That's hate speech to tell me I'm sinning. That's hate speech. You're telling me I'm going to hell? That's hate speech. Oh, you're telling me I'm going to go to hell? That's hate speech. Oh, your God, your loving Christian God is going to throw me into hell forever? Some loving God that is. And that's what we've done, evangelicals. That's what we've done, Christian church. In our yearning to please the Antichrist, in our yearning to be friends with the world, we've made ourselves at enmity with God, and we can't preach the gospel. It doesn't make any sense. John 3:16 only makes sense with the word perish in there. Once you talk about sinners perishing, it's hate speech. And fostering discontent and insurrection in society. How can you tell me I'm going to go to hell? Your God is supposed to be a God of love. You said Jesus loves me. Now you say he's going to send me to hell? Silly Christian. I don't blame the world for their attitude. We got to own this. We got to own this because we've given up. We wanted to be friends with the Antichrist. We wanted to get along with them. We wanted to love our enemies. Oh, let's love our enemies. And really, those little scriptures have nothing, they're nothing but a fig leaf for our own cowardice. Because we've been afraid to stand up and speak the truth. 2,000 years ago, they spoke the truth on pain of death. Ask Jesus Christ. On pain of death. Ask the prophets of old. Go ask Jeremiah what it was like. You know, he was there with his own so-called Christian community. They threw him in a pit. Pit full of mud. It didn't even have water, and he sunk to his armpits in mud. He was there for, I don't know, days, weeks. I don't know. He was going to die down there. The Ethiopian eunuch saved him. That's why I fast forward another several centuries, and you had the Ethiopian eunuch was specifically picked out to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Acts with Philip. That's exactly why. But if you abandon the word of God, and reduce it to make it acceptable to people, you end up exactly where we are. But if you embrace the full counsel and the full word of God, the natural result will be Christian civilizations. It will be Christian nations. It will be Christian geography and land and territories and families. Doesn't mean they'll be uniform. I talked about that. Doesn't mean everybody's exactly the same. Are you the same as me? No, you're not. You're not the same as me. I don't care how much of a Christian you are. You and I are going to be different. My family's different than yours. My church, well, let's just pretend I went to church. My church would be different than yours. See, there's a difference right there. You probably go to church every Sunday. I don't. I preach a sermon every Sunday right here. Denominations are different. Ethnic groups are different. I used to work in Alaska. I used to work on the fishing boats. And honestly, some of the best years of my life, without any doubt whatsoever. I still miss those days. And I fished with a group of Norwegians. And when I say Norwegians, these guys, a lot of them were born and raised in Norway, or they were first-generation American-Norwegian. Norwegian-American, what do you say? I don't know what that is. get on the radio saying, yeah, they're talking in Norwegian. They're speaking Norwegian. I had this one guy, great guy, name's Sig. He'd get all excited. He just, that's all he could talk about. He's just Norwegian. So I'd have to get on the radio and do the English thing. And then there was another group of fishermen. They're all Italians from San Francisco, and they're all Italian. They're either first or second generation Italians, culturally completely different. And it was a fascinating study in sociology. Doesn't mean they're lesser. I mean, it gets really annoying when people say that. It's like, guys, have a brain. Have a freaking brain. Is a black lab lesser than a Doberman Pinscher, or are they just different? All right, what do you want? Is a mallard duck different than a pintail duck? They're just different. They're both ducks. They're both great. They eat well, but they're not the same. All right, Norwegians are not Italians. It's okay to be different. I am not you. I am not you. I'm not going to apologize for saying that we're not identical. Why should I? That would be an insult to you to say that we are. I would be insulting you to say that you and I are exactly the same. You should be insulted. Probably much better than me. I'm sure you are. Likewise with my immediate family. Likewise with my extended family. What this drive for equality? What is this drive for equality? It's from Satan. He wants equality. He demands equality. And he demands the unitary government that we find at Babel, that God specifically destroyed. And he separated the races, separated people, so people could be different and unique. I can't be whole without my brothers. And when I'm around them in our natural environment where we grew up, man, it's satisfying. Man, I feel whole. Man, I feel like, you know what, this is good, and I miss this so much, to be around with the people that I grew up with, the culture that I'm a part of, in the geography that formed me, I feel whole. Then you take me out of there and you put me in a big city in some foreign place, and I'm like, yeah, I'm there, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Ditto for every other man on the face of the earth. Those Italians, man, they loved each other, and they had a wonderful time together. And it was wonderful to watch. Mexican-American community is the same way. Why should you deny that to them? Why should you deny people's differences, not only as individuals, but as cultures and as races? Why would you do that? Why would you try to undermine the beauty that God gave them? But no, everybody's got to be the same. We all got to be equal. Why would you tell a woman she has to be exactly like a man? Why would you insult her? You can do everything a man can. Well, I certainly can't do everything a woman can. I'll tell you that much. Why make that demand? You get these idiots out there, and you know, we've come to a point in our culture when people are offended by saying only women can give birth. Man, we've gone way over the edge. Sorry, full stop. We've gone way over the edge. And if you can't stand up and sit there and laugh, say you guys are lost your freaking minds, then there's something wrong with you. And you're so far down in the cult. I'd use a crude example, but this is a family show. You're so far down the dark hole that you got no hope, man. You got no hope. When you can actually look somebody in the eye and say that men can have babies. I mean, my God, what is wrong with you? And so we've come to the end of our age. We've come, America has run its course. And we are, you know, we're no longer a, you know, one nation. Yeah, there's a government entity. And it seems that forces have been worked for generations now in here to get rid of certain majority culture and set of values. I'm very effective at it. Very effective. But it has not resulted in anything good. And some people may say it's good. But, you know, that's like Judas. Judas thought he had a good outcome too. Judas thought he had a great outcome. I don't think he did. All right. That's it for this evening. Fritz Berggren. bloodandfaith.com. Think about these things, man. We're at an exciting time. God, we're at an exciting time. We are at a very exciting time. It's time to make decisions. It's individuals. Decide where you stand. Get in the scriptures. Understand what the scriptures say. You do not owe unlimited submission to any authority other than Jesus Christ. What's the line? What's the line for you? Where's your examples in the Holy Scriptures? All right. See you.